I'd like to introduce the pastor, Corrine Howlett. She's a fellow traveler, a fellow seeker, and a close friend to many of us. I'll give a brief biography. Corrine is grateful to live among all of us in Winona. The official word is that she's been an ordained pastor in the ELCA for 15 years, 12 of those at the Lutheran Campus Center in Winona. She's gone to school for all of this, but the real word is that she still believes that love is stronger than hate, life is stronger than death, and goodness is stronger than evil. She holds fast to these words from the Bishop Desmond Tutu and is relieved that when her confidence in that wavers. She belongs to a community that will believe for her, and she's held by a faith that is pure grace. Corrine and her husband, Dean, and Sadie, who's joining us today, their house is filled with beautiful chaos that includes two dogs, a couple of fish, and dishes that somehow always need doing. Welcome, Corrine.
Hey. Good morning. It's so good to be with all of you, to see you. My husband, who, as Dwayne said, is also a pastor, he's doing some work this morning, too, so I have Sadie with me. Sometimes he finds himself in Wikipedia rabbit curiosity that leads to a link on something else, which leads to another question and another link, and still another inquiry, until he's reading about how that plant received its name it shares with some dinosaur. I'm making this up. Excuse me. When he had started reading about yeast for bread. I'm exaggerating, of course, but only slightly. Well, I found myself in a bit of a rabbit hole recently, though not quite like Greg's Wikipedia ones. I'd wanted to make sure that the story that I alluded to, though, I was reading about the man himself who shared this quote that I'll get to in a moment. The man's name, maybe you know, was A.J. Musty. Most sites call him a longtime pacifist, and it seemed to me he was at least that, if not a lifelong. He was born in the Netherlands, and when his father, Martin, saw that their economic prospects weren't going to amount to much there, they emigrated to the United States. And he, AJ, or Abraham Johannes, became a naturalized citizen of the United States along with the rest of his family in 1896 when he was 11 years old. They settled in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I think I heard there are Michigan people here. Chuck. Yeah. And okay. My grandparents, too. He attended the Dutch Reform. He began to study at the Theological Seminary of the Reformed Church. And at that time, he met some people and began questioning the church's fundamental principles. He finished his studies, though, and he became a pastor in New York City. As a pastor myself, I find this incredible, that he held the uncertainties and the questioning of the church while he was studying and trying to work this out and live this out. Being a pastor in New York City allowed him to take some more classes. He seemed to be really an intellectual, at Union Theological Seminary, which is very different from the Dutch Reformed Church. He was in, and 8 years after becoming a pastor, he left the Reformed Church to become a Congregationalist pastor. And following his involvement with peace demonstrations in response to the United States entering World War I, he left that church too. A year or so later, he became Quaker, which I thought was fitting for our time this morning, and we'll have coffee and treats with our Quaker friends after this. And the schism. There's so much more about this guy. So many incredible stories of what seems like his deeply held values of peace and social justice. Like, now I'm not advising you to do this, but I found this really cool. In 1951, to protest the Cold War, he and 48 others filed Thoreau's essay on the duty of civil disobedience instead of their 1040 forms for taxes. And upon his death at 82, Norman Thomas remembered Musty as someone who, and that there could be such a thing as nonviolent social revolution. I share all of this because I think knowing a little bit more about this person makes his famous quote even richer and more remarkable. Knowing that he is more than just this one moment in his life and this one quote. Remembering he was a full human like you and like me. So now finally, the story. Holding a lighted candle to protest the Vietnam War. He stayed long enough for the candle to burn down. Rainy nights, snowy nights, windy nights, dry and boring ones. And one particularly rainy evening, a reporter asked him, "Mr. Musty, do you really think you are going to change the policies of this country by standing out here alone at night with a candle?" "Oh," Musty replied, "oh, I don't do this to change the country. I do it so the country won't change me." Dear ones, I want to light a candle with you. But not only that, I want to remind you of something that I'm going to read later tonight with my students at the Lutheran Campus Center. Part of a passage of scripture that was assigned for this day ages and ages and ages ago, world today, in all kinds of languages. This happens every week. It's not some kind of special Sunday today, or maybe it always is. But the word that I'm going to read and talk about with our students is this: you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Imagine what it must have been like for the people who first heard those words from Jesus. As Debbie Thomas put it in her book, Into the Mess, I love that title. Remember who they were, these people. "Woe is me, humble, humble, meek, but like, I have no hope left in me." Persecuted, the hungry, the sick, the crippled, the frightened, the outcast, the misfit. To these, Jesus declared, "You are the light of the world. You are. Not you should be. Not if you do these things, then you are. Or if you don't do that, then you're light. But simply and profoundly, you are." He reminds them and us of our identity, that we are precious. You are the light of the world, so shine. A city on a hill can't be hidden. When you light a lamp or a candle, you don't put it under a basket, but you let it give light to all the house. Dear ones, I want to light a candle with you each night. And I want it to be not just the kind that we ignite with a match or a lighter, but the kind that glows from within us. The kind that makes your face light up. That makes your eyes sparkle and your spirit dance. The kind that is the essence of who you are. Who are you? What lights you up? If we are going to be resilient in uncertain times, and these are that we remember who we are and let ourselves shine. Yesterday, Sadie and I sat at 3 basketball games for my 13-year-old son, and she made it the whole day with me. And she hid in my hair at one point, so I wonder if that's what's happening now. Are you hiding? It's imperative that even and especially in the face of uncertainty and hardship and pain, I don't mean some fluffy, naive, happy, happy, joy, joy, which I had to look up last night because I vaguely remembered that from my childhood. It's Ren and Stimpy, right? Happy, happy, joy, joy. I don't mean that kind of joy. Because joy is not the same as happy, just like kindness is not the same as niceness. So I ask you again, who are you? What lights you up? For these last moments together, I want to invite you to reflect on a time in which you felt like yourself. Or perhaps a moment in which you were overwhelmed by joy. And if overwhelmed is too much, then when joy tapped you gently, when you were walking through the store minding your own business and a little child giggled and the corners of your mouth lifted, or when your own child called just to tell you about their day, like when you felt the warmth of a mug cupped around your hands, cupped in your hands, because mugs can't go around our hands. And you paused long enough to notice it, the feel of that warmth and the steam rising and the way the sun sparkled on the snow outside. It's okay to appreciate those things when the world feels chaotic. And not only is it okay, it's necessary. It is not frivolous. It is how we survive this. It is how we thrive through this together so that you can feel safe and grounded. If that means closing your eyes, you can do that. Or if you want to let your gaze fall gently in front of you or focused somewhere that you feel safe and grounded. Take a deep breath in through your nose, letting your whole lungs fill. And exhale through your mouth. You can do that two more. And on the last exhalation, you can just let your breathing return to its natural rhythm. No need to force anything. And recall a moment in which you felt like yourself, or when joy surprised you. Notice the sounds that might arise in your memory. Notice the feelings that arise in your body and in your heart. Imagine that if you were to write about that moment in exquisite detail, what you would describe. And if nothing comes to you, please, please be kind to yourself. Somebody will smile at you and you will know that you are loved, as we heard from our joys and concerns. Perhaps you will Clementine or a cookie or coffee. God bless coffee. Perhaps you will see this little toddler on my hip make a fish face, because that is pretty. I have had moments in my life in which I felt like that wasn't true, but I promise you it will come again. And now receive these words from our beloved Mary Oliver, Wild Geese. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about your despair. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on, escapes over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese in the family of things.